To God's Word for the preaching and message this morning. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you would turn to the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter number 8. Nehemiah chapter number 8, and we're going to read verses 8 through 12 this morning. And before we read, let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for calling us to worship you. And thank you for the songs that we're able to sing. And thank you for the message of the gospel, the words of assurance that through Jesus Christ we are forgiven. And we thank you now that we can hear from you. And we pray that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit, that you would teach us your way, and that this morning, no matter how old we are, that we would give up our self-will and take up our cross and follow you. That our faith would be strengthened by the reading and preaching of the Word. That we would understand that we, your people, human beings, that we were made to worship you. Not to live for ourselves, not to live for pleasure or for money, but we were made to live for you and worship you like we are this morning here at the house of the Lord. So, by the power of your Holy Spirit, speak to us, help us to understand, and then to apply your holy word to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So, our text is Nehemiah chapter 8, reading verses 1 through 12. This is the Word of God. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra, the scribe, stood on a wooden platform that they had made for that purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah. And on his right hand, and Pedaiah, Misael, Malchijah, Hashum, Hashbananah, Zechariah, and Meshulam on his left hand. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shebathiah, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kelatah, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, the Levites, helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. They read from the book from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing already, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, and to send portions and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. Amen. That is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our Lord Jesus Christ is risen indeed. And may He by His Spirit bless this sermon to all of us this morning. Now, brothers and sisters, God is at the very center of our existence, and worshiping Him is the ultimate goal and the great activity of your life as a human being and for our life as a church here at Komoka OPC. John Piper agreed with the church fathers when he said, "Worship is ultimate because God Himself is ultimate." You see, at public worship such as this, that you have every Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon, and that we have at Faith Church in Tillsonburg, here in these special moments and the special history of our life, your life and mine, God Himself meets with us. And He ministers to us, His assembled covenant people, through word and sacrament. He ministers to us through prayer, through the singing that we do of psalms and hymns. He also ministers to us through the communion or the fellowship of one another in the Christian church. But there's something else that happens here in a worship service, and that is that we meet with God too. Not only does God meet with us, but you and I, we meet with God as well, as we in faith offer loving praise to God through Christ alone and in the power of the Holy Spirit. So worshiping God in church is fundamental. Worshiping God in our lives together in Christ's holy church is absolutely important, just as water is to our bodies, just as food is to our survival. So worship is part of who we are. We were made to worship God. You see, worshiping God is both the goal and the fruit of salvation in Jesus Christ. So are you a Christian? Do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you are born again and you recognize that Jesus is the one who has forgiven you of all of your iniquities, then there's going to be a new goal in your life, and there's going to be new fruit in your life, and it's this, that you love God, that you love Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you want to worship Him. You have a love for Him. You desire to praise His name. You desire to learn of Him. And what's frustrating for you is the sleepiness. What's frustrating for you is the busyness of life that sometimes distracts you from this wonderful key moment in your life of worshiping God. So I ask you this morning, is worshiping God every Sunday necessary to you? Is worshiping God every Sunday necessary and important for you? Well, I hope that it is. If it is, this is a wonderful fruit of the Holy Spirit that is happening in your life. And the Holy Spirit will then this morning use Nehemiah 8 in your life to help you to grow in your life as you worship God. You see, Nehemiah 8 encourages us to worship our Lord. Let's look at this passage this morning, And let's understand it. First of all, we want to look at the time frame of this chapter. It's the month of Elul, and the walls of Jerusalem were finished at this time. You see, the people had come back from the Babylonian captivity. They began to do their work of rebuilding the city of Jerusalem, but also the temple. And much of the temple had been completed, and also the Jerusalem walls were now finished. And so the next day, after the walls were finished, Nehemiah began his new work of getting things ready so that the public worship of God in Zion could take place, could begin. And you can read of this in chapter number 7 of Nehemiah, where all the preparations had taken place so that worship could start. And then, after all the preparations were finished, as we read of in chapter 7, then on the first day of the seventh month, the month Tishri, God's people gathered at the square before the water gate for what? For the public worship of God's people. According to God, as we read in the Scriptures, the month of Tishri was, as it were, worship season. On this month, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tents or the Feast of Booths, and the Solemn Assembly were all held in this special time of Tishri. And here at the beginning of this month, the church gathers at Zion after she has been saved from Babylon, and the immediate desire that God's covenant people have here is the desire to hear God's law, as we read in verse 1. Now why? Why did they have the desire to hear God's law? Because you see, it was now time for God's saved people, for God's covenant redeemed people whom God had delivered from Babylon, to be reestablished on the foundation of God's holy word. And of course, we connect with this, whether we're children or young people or older people. We understand this pattern. We understand this cycle of life. You see, one day in seven, we come together to reestablish, to realign, to rededicate ourselves and our children in Christ by His Word and Spirit to God. One day in seven, we gather together in the power of the Holy Spirit to remind ourselves again who we are, who Christ our Savior is, who God is, so that we can be encouraged to again live for Him in the new week that He gives to us. Well, look who comes on the scene as they gather together to reestablish themselves. Who comes on the scene in the story? Ezra the priest. What kind of a man was Ezra the priest? Well, Ezra chapter 7, verse 10 tells us this. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. Ezra the priest was a man of God who loved the word of the Lord. Ezra 7:10 shows his heart, and it shows his ministry. A love for the word, a love for the people, to teach the people the word of God. Well, God's people boldly entreat Ezra to read God's law to them on this first day of the month of Tishri. As the text says, they strongly summoned Ezra to bring the book of the law. And then what happened was that they had prepared a wooden platform, a raised wooden platform, to be constructed near the water gate for this specific purpose, where Ezra would come up to the risen platform, come to the pulpit, as it were, and he began then to read the Word of God so that the people could hear the Word of God. Well, this is the scene that is before us here in this text in Nehemiah chapter number 8. And here, as we read earlier, men and women and children of the covenant, that is, those children who could understand what was being done. So men and women and children, they came together and they had an eager heart and an eager mind to hear from God as they came to worship Him. And in this event of worship, three themes come out. And these three themes come out in every Christian worship service, even here at Covenant OPC, even at our church. Whenever we go to a faithful Christian church, these three themes are there. And what we have here this morning, what they had those many years ago, they had the Word of God given to them. That's what you and I have. By the grace of God, we have the Word of God given to us. The second thing that they had is they had a delight as they heard the Word of God. That's what happens in our midst too, that we delight to hear the Bible. And also, what happens at this worship service here this morning is that God's Word is taught. God's Word is taught. Let's begin with this reality, this theme, this blessing. God's Word is given. Notice in verse 1, "And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded or had given to Israel." Now, the word of the Lord here, the word of God, refers to the passages in the first five books of Moses, the Pentateuch or the Torah. This book of the law is the law of God or the law from God. As we read later on in verse number 8, there we recognize that it says that it is a gift of God, that this word came from God. That God's word is a gift of God is also seen in the phrase when it says in verse 1, the book of the law of Moses that the Lord God had commanded, or it's an interesting word, had appointed to Israel. So, the Ten Commandments, the Pentateuch, they were given to Moses by God. And then the other scriptures, the histories, like 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. We think of the book of Psalms. We think of the wisdom books, the prophets, and we also think of the New Testament. They were all likewise given by God. They were given to the church by inspiration. Let's ask the question, why is Scripture our authority? Why is it the authority of this congregation? Because the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for us. 2 Peter chapter 1 says that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So Scripture, the Bible, the Word of God, God's gift to us, is our authority because of what Scripture is. Scripture is the authority in your family. It's the authority over your children. Scripture is the authority over your personal life, all through your life, whether you're young or whether you're old, because of what Scripture is. And Scripture is the very voice of God. It is God-breathed. It is God's Word given to us. You know, the Bible has been amazingly preserved for us by God. The subjects of the Bible are wonderful. Scripture doctrines are powerful. Its poetry is beautiful. Its writings are wonderful. It's all about the glory of God. The Bible is all about Christ and His power and salvation in our lives. Though these things are wonderful, these things are not the reasons why the Bible is the authoritative Word of God in our lives. It is authoritative because it is given by God. It's inspired. It's God and His love letter to you and to me and to His church. So this Bible, this Word of God, is given to us by God, but it's also given to us by God to the church. The Bible wasn't just given to you as an individual, though you can read it as an individual Christian. No, the Bible was always given to God's covenant people. All through the Old Testament and the New Testament and the apostolic word and the prophetic word, we recognize that the Bible was given to the church. And that's important. That's important for us here this morning and this afternoon. So what do we do with God's Word? In this Jewish synagogue, they would take the scroll, the Old Testament scroll, and they would pass it amongst the people, and then the people would touch the Bible before it would come up into the pulpit where the Jewish rabbi would then read the Bible. We have the Bible here, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. You might have it on your lap. What do we do with this Word? Well, we read it. We preach it. We teach it. But also, and here in this context of Nehemiah specifically, God gives us His Word to be our foundation for life and godliness. That's what was happening here. As the city was rebuilt, as the temple was rebuilt, the Jews now had to continue a life of obedience to their covenant God so that the gospel promise of Jesus could be continued. And so you see, here we have the Word of God, to learn the Word of God, so that we have foundation in our life, a foundation of life and godliness. The Lord has given the Scriptures to us for us to know Him and for us to know His will as our guide for life. Through His Word is where we learn how to live life. And as we daily practice the Word of God is how we daily practically submit to God all the time. You know, your pastor, he encourages you to submit to the Lord, to take up your cross and follow Him. Well, what does that look like? It looks like following the Bible. In the Scriptures, we have God's clear directive, foundations for our everyday life and how we live at our workplaces, how we live in our family, how we handle our money, how we interact with our relationships, how we live as young people, how we live as seniors. The Word of God is our foundation for life and godliness, so that we might live as faithful covenant people who've been redeemed from our Babylon by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so may God grant us, Christian brothers and sisters, the zeal here at this church to always call for God's Word. Just like these Christians did. They called for the Word of God to be read. They called upon the priest Ezra to read. May you have a zeal to always have the Word of God read and preached to you here at this congregation. And also, may you rejoice in your life that the Word of God has been given to you. It's a gift of God. The gift of the Scriptures, the gift of reading the Scriptures, the gift of preaching the Scriptures, the gift of eating the Word, even at the Lord's Supper. All of these things are gifts to you. And then may you desire your Word, God's Word, to be your foundation. May you desire God's Word to be your foundation and guide. Do you want to know how to live? Do you want to know how a marriage can flourish? Do you want to know how your life can flourish at work? Well, dig in it. Dig into the Word. Dig into the Word. Ask your pastor. Ask your elder. What is God's principles and truths for my life, so that I can be guided by the God that I love? So that's in Christian worship. The Word of God, this gift of the Lord. But also, as we go on, this comes out in Christian worship. And that is that God's Word becomes a delight. Notice in verse 2. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. The men and the women and children that could listen with awareness would hear the word on the first day of Tisri. Now, there's something very important that occurred on this first day, and that was the Feast of Trumpets. That was the first worship activity that would occur. Now, that day, in the Feast of Trumpets, was this. It announced the coming of God. It was an announcement of the blessings of God, an announcement by those loud trumpets that God, the covenant God, was present. Well, notice what they announced here. Notice what they used to announce God's presence. It's the Word. The Word is read. And you see, God's law, God's Word does that. It announces the glory of God. And notice how the people delighted in God's Word. In their delight, they heard the word of the Lord with patience. It says in chapter 8 and verse 3, and he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday. Ezra read and the people listened for probably 5 to 6 hours from morning to midday. You see, these people were not ruled by the clock. They listened to the word of God with patience. And notice, in their delight, they also heard the word of God with attention. In verse 8, in chapter 8 and verse 3, And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And all the ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law. Notice the poetry that is used here. They were attentive to the book of the law. Now, their ears were involved with that. It says, literally, the ears of the people were attentive, not meaning that their ears were standing up or their ears had some sort of life and so on. No, but it means that they were listening with their mind and with their heart. They were listening with faith. They had a genuine interest and a desire for the Word of God. Notice as we go on, in their delight, they not only had patience, they not only paid attention, but they had reverence too. Notice verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and as he opened it, all the people stood. Here the people stood in reverence for the Word of God. Now, did the Old Testament church always stand to hear the Word of God? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Should you and I stand today in a worship service such as this when the Word of God is read? Well, some church traditions do stand. It's been in the history of the church. But not all church traditions stand for the reading of God's Word. In other words, the answer to the question, should we stand today, is that standing for the reading of God's Word is not commanded. People sat before Ezekiel as he taught them. Mary sat at Jesus' feet as she listened to him. And when Paul taught Lydia God's Word, they were sitting down. Standing for the reading of Scripture is not a requirement. We are at liberty to do that if we want to stand for the reading of God's Word, but it's not required. But what is required, or what should be in our hearts, is reverence for God and His Word. We should always show respect for the Word of God. And the best way to show respect for God's Word is to heed it by looking at God and worshiping Him, allowing His Word to change our lives, to change our thinking, so that we think God's thoughts after Him. What does the Bible say? I have hidden your Word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So you see, we listen to the Word of God with patience. We listen to the Word of God paying attention. And also, as we reverence it, wanting God's Word to be buried and burned into our hearts so that we might live it out in our lives. And then notice, we listen to the Word of God with worship. Notice verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. Lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. After the reading, Ezra gave the doxology. Here, blessing and doxology are directed to Jehovah, the giver of the Word of God. You see, Scripture does not leave us in mere knowledge. When we listen to the Word of God and seek to try to understand the Word of God, its goal is not to just give us head knowledge. No, when we listen to the Word, it leads us to worship God. Scripture is ever to be mixed with worship and thanksgiving in those of us who love the Lord and are God's children. Paul is an example to us when he read attentively and patiently the Word of God, when he read the Word of God with reverence, when he heard it, when he heard the Word explained, when he had God's Word with him. As you read his letters, he had a knee-jerk reaction. And it was this, it was praise and worship in response to God's truth. Over and over again, you see that. As he paid attention to the Word, as he listened to it with patience and reverence, worship came because he learned of God. And that's what happens in our lives too. Ezra worshipped, and then notice that the people worshipped God as well, as we read in verse 6. The people stand And then they respond, amen and amen. And then after they responded, amen and amen, they kneeled. This last posture signifies their submission to the authority of the Word, their self-abasement and their humility before God, wanting God to teach them and to guide them. It shows their love and faith. And notice also they lifted up their hands in praise and adoration to God. So should we lift up our hands? Well, it is not commanded. It's not an element of worship. But if you are led by the power of the Holy Spirit, by all means, lift up your hands and worship God in praise and adoration. We know that the church in the New Testament did this. The church in the Old Testament did this as well. Should we bow down in humility, giving ourselves to God? We can. There's no command against that. If we love God and are led by the Holy Spirit to bow in church and to give our lives to Him, you have no, that's not a problem. There's not a difficulty at all. Should we say amen and amen? Have you ever been in a church where sometimes people would shout to the preacher, amen or amen? Well, there's no warrant against it. But whatever we do physically must come from a heart of faith. Whatever we do physically must come from a heart of love to worship God. It must be Spirit-led, Spirit-moved, out of a heart of worship to our triune God. What was powerful to our family here at this time in the days of Nehemiah was God and His Word. They heard it patiently. They heard it attentively. They heard it reverently. And they worshiped God in these ways. And God's Word is still powerfully with us. And our world, Christ is still proclaimed and preached. So let us listen and love. Let us listen and let the Holy Spirit guide us by the Word. Let us give ourselves to the worship of our great God. And perhaps, if God leads you in that joy that you have, you can give yourself to these physical actions of raising your hands and shouting amen and praising Him out of love in your heart. Because you see, we delight in God and His Word. We have God's Word. And when we have God's Word and listen to it, the Christian delights in it and is given to worship. Well, then the third element is God's Word is taught. So here in God's covenant house, in this house of prayer, we have the Bible, we have God's Word. The Holy Spirit is in your heart. You delight in God's Word. And now we know that God's Word is also taught. You might have noticed in verse 4 that there were 13 men on the platform with Ezra as he read the Scriptures. And from verse 7, we learn that there were also Levites among the people, helping the people to understand the law that Ezra was reading. So how would this have worked? We know how it works here. Your pastor reads the Scriptures, and then he gives his sermon so that you are taught. How did it work here? Well, it seems that Ezra would read for a while and then stop the reading, at which time these Levites would then go amongst the people explaining the Bible, explaining the reading to them. It says that these Levites read from the book of the law clearly, that is to explain it, and that these Levites would go amongst the people and give the sense or give the reading. That is, they gave Scriptures wisdom. They gave Scriptures insight to the people. That is, when they gave the sense of the reading of the Word of God, they made applications and they also called them to obey what was read. And this is what the priests were called to do. It says in Malachi chapter 2, verse 7, that the people should seek the law from the priests' mouths. That is, that they should seek the understanding and meaning of the text. You see, explanation from the Bible does not have the same authority as the Scriptures, but it is essential. You ever think about that? It's essential that you understand what the Bible means. God has given you the gift of the Bible and the gift of Pastor Ferguson and the elders, both together, to help you to understand what God is actually saying. See, the Bible is to be reverenced, for it is God's Word, but the Bible is also to be understood, assimilated, and obeyed in our lives, and that only comes by explaining, giving the sense of the Scriptures. From the ministry of Jesus and His apostles, we know that there is a reason for preaching. What is the reason for preaching? I'm sure that your pastors and elders have told you the reason for preaching is so that you might understand the Word of God, that you might understand Jesus Christ, that you might understand the gospel for your life, no matter at which point of life you are at. You see, from the Bible, we korux, or we kerygma. So those are two Greek words that means herald and proclaim. From the Bible, we herald God's Word. We proclaim God's Word. We manifest God's Word. And as we, as preachers and elders, manifest God's Word, teach God's Word amongst the people, Christ and God's revealed will is made open to us. In other words, we proclaim and explain. That's the reason for preaching. And we do so in the church. There is no individualism here. You see, Ezra and the Levites were the ordained servants who read the Bible and explained the Bible to the people of God. And the people of God were to listen and obey those ordained officers, the Levites, to understand the Word. It's in the church that you, the church, should learn God's Word through those who are called. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, it's not just me and my Bible. If it's just me and my Bible, then I can become whatever I want. That's how the cults of the false Jehovah Witnesses and the cult of the Mormons began. Just me and my Bible, and what I think the Bible means, and what I determine the Bible means. You can't tell me. This is what God told me the Bible means. So it doesn't matter what the church says, or what her confessions say, or what the Westminster says. I think the Bible means that. That is not Christian. It's in the church that you, the church, should learn God's Word from those called to that office. And those called, like me, and like your elders, and like your pastor, those who are called must interpret Scripture, both from the study of Scripture, and together with the writings, the creeds, and confessions of the church. We are a confessional church here at Covenant OPC. So when Pastor studies the Word of God, he studies the Word of God in its context, in its languages, in its message, but he studies it also together with the history of the church so that he is in continuity with the faithful Christian church. And this is how you learn. Where God's gift to you comes to the pulpit, reads the Word of God, and gives the sense so that you in your life have direction and guidance and have the truth so that you might be taken to Christ and in the end go to heaven when you die, rather than being led astray by the false Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons and every other bizarre cult out there. No, this is a safe place where the Word is given, where we rejoice in the Word, and where the Word is explained and applied to us in a way that is consistent and truthful with the apostolic church, so that we're with Jesus and that our children are with Jesus, baptized as covenant children, where we properly observe the holy sacrament of communion. See, this learning through sermons is worshiping God. Through learning in and through the church is brought to Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit, because we're brought to the true reality of God Almighty. The psalmist said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." The house of the Lord, here where the Word of God is given to us. Here where we have sermons preached to us so that we might understand and have the sense. Now, we are not always happy to go to church, are we? And one of the many disciplines of the Christian life is faithful church attendance with joy in our hearts. Well, today, before we come to Holy Communion, bring it into your mind. Bring it into your mind that this is God's community, where we hear God's Word and find joy in it and learn to understand it, to apply it to our lives. The public reading and worship time, just like ours, this public reading and worship time here in Nehemiah 8, just like ours today, marks the time when God's children truly receive God's Word and where they truly again recommit themselves to God. And when we truly receive God's Word, whom does God's Word tell us about? It tells us about Jesus Christ. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, as we hear this Word and learn of Jesus Christ, then we recommit our lives to Him so that we might live like Him this coming week. This is God's intent. This is God's purpose in the reading and teaching and joy of the Word, that we might know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us come to Him now in communion. But before we do, let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. We thank You, God, that we can serve You in listening to the Word read and listening to preaching. We thank You that we can serve You by yielding to the Holy Spirit, by paying attention to the Word read and the Word preached. And we thank You that in all of this, we are worshiping You. We are serving You. We are submitting ourselves to You. And so, Lord, grant us this grace every Lord's Day. We want to thank You this morning for the gift of the Word of God. We want to thank You this morning for changing our hearts to help us to delight in Your Word. And we want to thank You for the gift of teaching the elders and the pastor that we have here at Covenant OPC. We give You praise and thanksgiving that You give shepherds to Your sheep, that they might discern and understand the Word of God for their lives and for their children's lives unto 1,000 generations, that they might be safe in the arms of Jesus and not be led astray. We love You. We bless You. In Jesus' name, amen.